Thanks for joining me. How are you?
I'm doing very well now that we can hear each other.
I hope you're saying some nice things. I know the fans can hear you. I can see it in the comments, but
Yeah, I was mainly giving a shout out, or just asking the question, how many people are actually based in WA for this? I saw someone was actually watching in Tasmania, which is cool.
Oh, fantastic.
But yes, I'm currently in Sydney in New South Wales, and we were very nervous this week as to whether the wonderful Mark McGowan would allow us back into the state. So I'm very pleased to know that that can happen at some point.
Yeah, fantastic. It's been a massive year, Rove. Hey, let's jump into it. So, welcome back to our For the Love of Freo Instagram Live series. It's a series where we catch up with our most passionate fans in the public eye. And, Rove, you are definitely one of those. Can we go right back to the beginning? You're a Freo man through and through. Your cousin is, of course, Fremantle legend Sean McManus. Is it as
Yes.
simple as that? Is that how you were led to Freo Dockers life?
Well, it was the fact that I grew up entire McManus mob are all he's Fremantle based. So yeah, I grew up following the Sharks in the Waffle, where my grandpa was a life member, and yeah, we had a lot of connections with the club. And then we would in fact I would go around to Sean's place. There they just lived around the corner from us, and we were the Winners, which was the ABC show that would show the VFL games to see what was happening over there until we were one full combined league. And then yeah, when the Eagles came in, it just didn't feel like that was the right connection. So I must admit, I didn't follow them as you know, it was always great when they won their first premiership. It was great for the state, but it wasn't until the Dockers were announced as a club, and of course it came from that East Fremantle base, that it really felt like it was our team. Not just Sean, the inaugural coach, was a cousin of my dad's, and so Jared Neesham, Con Regan, who was on the coaching staff. There was a big family connection in the very early days.
You had no choice. It was really meant to be, wasn't it? And in
Yes.
terms talking connection to Freo, am I right in saying you used to work at the Sail and Anchor pub down at South Terrace there in Freo?
I did. That was like one of my very first jobs. We were always very connected to Fremantle anyway. But yeah, that's where I worked. I started out as a glassie, which is a very classy job of back in the day when you could smoke inside pubs. I had to empty all the ashtrays. And especially on a Friday and Saturday night, if anybody threw up anywhere in the building, it was my job to clean it up. So it was a very classy job. But yeah, we got free beers at the end of the night, so it was a positive. But yeah, I love Fremantle as a city, as a place. I have a lot of fond memories there. One of my first forays in entertainment in 19, geez, it would have been 87. I did a TV show for the ABC where we shot some opening shots where I was skateboarding around Fremantle. So yeah, I have a very strong connection with all things Freo.
A very glamorous pub job. You've moved on to bigger and better things now.
Yes, now I have people who clean up my vomit, so I'm doing very well.
How life works, hey? Back on Sean, what was it like watching your cousin run around for, well, 14 years in a Freo jumper?
Yeah, well, it was great that there was never just the assumption that he would be in there. Both Sean and his older brother David, who's the same age as me, and his younger brother Ben are like fantastic footballers. So it was great to see him be able to don the Freo jumper. Like that first his first game where he scored his first goal against the then Footscray Western Bulldogs. I remember that. Yeah, it was very, very exciting. I had kind of in the same year that the Dockers started had moved to Melbourne, so it was very tough for me to have that connection with back home, and watching the Freo games and watching Sean play was a very big part of having that connection. He got injured a lot, safe to say. So that was kind of the flip side. Was I remember one of the derbies where he smashed into Wirrpunda going back for that mark. That was really tough to watch, and obviously two knee reconstructions and all of that. So there was the highs with the lows. But look, I was never going to do this without bringing up, the guy's got socks now, so he's doing all
Oh,
right.
How good are
You
they?
know.
They sell like hotcakes in our team store. Don't worry about that. I'm sure he's got about five pairs of his own.
Yeah, I posted that recently on Instagram that, you know, who doesn't want to wear their cousin on their feet? And yeah, the amount of responses I got from family members saying, oh yeah, you know, plenty of Christmas stockings were filled with those socks. So I had to pay for mine.
Oh, that's a bit rough. It sometimes gets the confusion with the David Mundy socks, but they're close enough, but different
Fair
enough as
enough.
well. Hey, as a footy club, we've had plenty of memorable moments since 1995. Is there something that's etched into the memory, something that stands out for you as your favourite Freo moment?
Oh, certainly that the first preliminary final we got into against Sydney was a big one. That was pretty special. I got to be there, you know, as much as the win didn't go our way. It was just something about the fact, I think, you know, as Freo fans, we can always just feel like, you know, when I was living in Melbourne, there was always this idea of it was okay to wear an interstate scarf. They don't normally take too well to interlopers, especially those that win. So the fact that we were kind of seen as the hapless younger brother that would, you know, any other team would just sort of give you a little scruff on the top of the head and go, oh, good on you for having a crack at it. So it was nice to sort of be seen. To sort of be seen as the fact that we could, you know, be a legitimate contender. And, you know, in many respects, we played better than Sydney in that game. It was sort of similar to, you know, the grand final against Hawthorn, where it was, I feel like we played better overall, but when they played well, they just got the points out of it. And I remember that was quite memorable, especially afterwards, Peter Bell making his concession speech basically at the. Afterwards, we were just having drinks, and he gave a beautiful speech, and then basically gave up the captaincy, which was I don't think anyone saw coming. It was quite heartbreaking to be part of that, but also very special. And obviously, you know, being part of a grand final contention was a very big deal as well.
I can see Sonny Walters tuning in. He's just said hi, Ro. So it'd be remiss of me
Oh,
not to ask.
g'day. It's been
Be
a
remiss of
while.
me not to
I
ask
look
about him.
forward to, I think last time we crossed paths we were with our families at Adventure World, and it was very hard to kind of sit and properly have a chat when the kids were all running around wanting to jump in all the pools. But yeah, good to have you on board.
What do you think of the great son? He's a fantastic player for us. We're so lucky to have him.
Yeah, and look, I think, you know, I'm sure we'll get to it later anyway, but you know, what has been so great this year is sort of seeing how our veterans and then our up and comers as well have kind of blended really well. I feel like we haven't maybe had that synchronicity in the past where, you know, our veteran players are sort of hanging on to help the new ones come through, but there's too much of a divide, and then we lose them to injury or retirement, and then our younger ones haven't quite come up with that level of experience to learn from. But it feels at the moment we've just Yeah, we've just got it right. It was a weird year, but I think it bodes well for 2021, especially, you know, a weird year, a weird season with a new coach, and I think we showed a lot of promise this year. It was very exciting.
Let's talk about this year. As you said, a very weird year. The young guns on our list, so exciting. The Caleb Sarongs, Andy Brayshaws, Adam Cherrys of the world. It's of course AFL draft night tonight, so we're going to add even more to the list. Your thoughts as we head into 2021 and where you see we're at?
Yeah, look, I think it's well, the first thing I want to comment on is the women's team, of course. I mean, that was, I mean, you want to talk about the highs and lows, and a big shout out to the Kicking Back podcast. But just listening to their last show and hearing Juddy talk about how they found out the season was over, that there would be no grand final, they weren't going to award a premiership, and just to think. For you know both our men's and women's teams, yeah, any premiership will take, and that could have been it, and it was yanked away from us was gut-wrenching, and to hear them talk about it on the show was you realize how impacting it was for them as a club, and yeah, for us this year, it was weird watching games with no crowd. It just felt like you were watching a training session. It was really, really bizarre, and more than anything else, like. You know, I as a comedian, I've been doing gigs in front of like no crowd. Everyone's on a screen, but there's something about watching footy without that, the roar of the crowd that has been probably the most impacting thing that made me realize, yeah, this is weird. I've got photos I've just taken of watching games on the TV where there was no crowd, just because I thought there'll be a time where you'll forget this even happened. But again, you know, we had weird setups, you know, shorter games, incredible turnaround, travel bubbles, all this kind of stuff. You know, again, the team really, I think, stepped up this year and showed a lot of promise. And okay, maybe we didn't get the wins that we would have liked to be where we wanted to be at the end of the season, but I can't remember a time where maybe we haven't been where we wanted to on the ladder at the end of the year. But geez, what it shows where we could be for next year, hopefully things being somewhat back to normal. I'm very excited.
Yeah. And like you said, I was in the room for the recording of that Kicking Back podcast. It was so raw, so emotional, and it really gave an insight into what Juddy and her team were really feeling that day. And then on the flip side, the men's team, like you said, no crowds. It was weird. The broadcasters pumped their fake crowd in, which took a bit of getting used to. But
yes.
The other one you mentioned was Justin Longmuir, his first year. We love having him at the club, from outside looking into his first year in the top job.
Well, yeah, I think there was a lot of when he came in, I think there was a lot of the Ross Lyon way of training that was held on to, because in the past we've had, you know, complete resets. I think after 2013, there was like a big reset in the way we played the game, which, you know, the players, you could see when they would get the ball, they were kind of confused as what to do. So I think it's really important that when a coach comes in, they're smart in how they utilize the players. I think we've always had a great list. It's just knowing what to do with them and where to put people. Like, you know, as much as we love Fife being around the ball, just watching him sort of move to sort of a center mid spot, especially after a hamstring injury, I think, you know, has me excited for where he could be in the future and his longevity in the game. So I think, J-Lo, and another big shout out to the Purple Rain and a podcast as well, who, as they like to call him, and I like calling him that now too, I think handled the boys really, really well. And for a first year under strange circumstances, I think when he can take the reins properly, I'm very excited to see where we'll go.
I'm very glad you're getting around our podcast. It makes me very excited. Don't worry about that. That's the recent history. Let's go back a little bit further. I'm interested to know this. Aside from Sean, who's your most favourite player to ever pull on the purple and why?
Well, I mean, I want to say someone like, you know, Ballas or Belly, because, you know, it just gives me hope that short asses can play for the AFL. I think Matthew Pavlich is just such a legend of just the game. It's very rare that you have someone who is a captain of a team and truly epitomizes being a leader. You know, he's just fight, his determination, his heart, and just, you know, how he was embraced by, I feel, the league in general. It's almost like he was an ambassador for not only Fremantle, but for the AFL in general. And, you know, just a nice guy, class act, an amazing player. I mean, his stats speak for themselves. And I reckon probably hung on a bit longer than he would have liked to, and probably his family would have liked him, but I'm glad he did when we needed him. And geez, wouldn't it have been great for him to take that grand final trophy. But even just being there for the grand final parade in Melbourne, for me, watching him hold the cup aloft as they do, the two captains get to hold that. I had been at a lot of grand finals and a lot of grand final parades, and it was a really strange feeling to be sitting there going, this is my club though, this is my club. And we, in many respects, people would have thought, no, we would never be here. But I was very excited for him that he got to be the guy to lead the team for that first grand final.
Great segue, Rove. My next question was the 2013 Grand Final Parade. The game.
Jeez, oh, we're good at this. Now that we so can hear good. Each other.
The game. Oh, this chat would be very different if it was one-sided. I couldn't hear you. The game at the MCG on the last day in September. You were there for all of it. Someone on Twitter posted yesterday a picture of you at the Grand Final Parade. I'm sure plenty of Freo fans came up and did the same thing. What was it like getting around the Freo faithful in such a mass number, and that whole week for you, what was it like?
Well, I flew back from Los Angeles for it. I was watching the season unfold, and I used to, when I was living in the States, there was very few, there was one obscure cable channel that played AFL games, but they only played a select few, and it was a week afterwards. So it was really only if you wanted to see some highlights, but otherwise I would chew up my broadband costs by streaming it through the AFL website, which at the time it was still a bit iffy, as it was still new technology. But it was getting to the point, and I had to say to my wife, who by the way is a West Coast supporter, so it's always a point of contention for us, where I said, look, it's looking good. I don't want to jinx it, but the season's looking good. And if they get in, I'm going back. I've got to. This is history in the making for us as a club. So yeah, booked a ticket, managed to score some seats. I took my mum. It was very exciting. And to be part of just the build up. I mean, the game, again, didn't go the way we would have liked. I across the board, I feel we played better, but the Hawks just had just too good a run. And just when it mattered, but just to be there for that build up and that excitement with a bunch of other Freo fans, and we're all wearing our scarves and being there, and it's your team that's there on the day is phenomenal, and I hope we get to do it again.
As part of your jobs over the years, I'm sure you've travelled extensively. Has there been any weird and random places you've got to watch the footy? Have you adopted any American fans and had to teach them lessons as you're watching on?
Oh, one of the greats was there was one sports bar in LA that realized there are a lot of Aussies living in LA. And so when the grand final was on, they would play it. And it was, I would never otherwise go to this bar. It was in a weird part of town, but it was like, yeah, right in the heart of Beverly Hills, really, which is not really known for its nightlife. It's more shopping. And so, it was this great little dive bar. And then on this one particular night, you would have just a line down the street of Aussies trying to get in, and all these regulars who would be looking over their shoulder going, who are all these rowdy beer drinking ockers? But people would get into the game. They didn't really understand it very well and the rules. And the year that there was a tie was hilarious, because all the Americans are sitting around going, right, now what happens? Thinking, oh, we go into overtime like they would in an NFL game. And we're like, oh, no, we just all come back next week and do it again. It blew their minds.
That's incredible. Rove, in the early 2000s, we were lucky enough to have you as our number one ticket holder for a few years there. Was it great to be involved with the club in that way? I also know that you tossed the coin at one game and possibly kicked a goal in your jeans. Is that all tied in?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, God. Well, I was never the one to have any sporting prowess in our family. So it was probably the only way I would be able to have any kind of involvement with the club. And honestly, it meant a lot to me, especially with the fact that I was living in Melbourne at the time, to be associated with the club. I was so proud of my connection with the club. So to be the number one ticket holder, and any chance I got, I would try to get back and host functions and attend games. And it was really only towards the end, it was just too difficult. It was getting busier for me to be able to always be there when I was asked. And so I just said, look, you know, it pains me to do it, but I'm going to have to hand over to someone else, because I feel there should be someone who can be a little bit more hands-on with this role. But yeah, to get to, you know, kick the first kick of the season and, yeah, toss the coin, you know, little things like that, just getting to be there at the games. It was a really, really special time for me, definitely.
Now you said that you had no sporting prowess, but I want to pull you up on that. I spoke to Shawnee Mack yesterday. This is what he had to say. He says, you used to go hard at the footy, play with a lot of heart, and really get into the thick of the contest. Is that an accurate summary?
Yes, it is. I was a very good defensive player. I would throw my body in there. I could take down guys who were twice my size, but then I would get the ball and couldn't dispose of it very well. I'd probably be perfect for the Dockers. My accuracy is very questionable. But there was one time I got I was playing in the forward pocket and actually kicked a goal. Right. And my team, the Williton Blues I played for, my entire team have just come and grabbed me, and just, it was this enormous group hug. And I've done, as I kicked it, it was like, you know, kicking the winning goal after the siren in a grand final or something. And I've gone down the boundary line, I'm just cheering and pumping my fist. And this woman from the other team, one of the parents on the other, of the opposition, just went, oh, anyone would think you haven't kicked a goal before. And I said, I haven't. It was the greatest thing. It was just because I kicked one goal, and it was the greatest moment of my professional career. But yeah, I could, I would definitely go in hard, even though I knew it wasn't always going to be to my advantage should I get the ball afterwards, or my team's advantage.
Sean also told me you played for Willerton, you came up against Riverton one day, and they put you in the ruck against a 15-year-old bloke who was well over 6 foot. Was that a tough day at the office for you, or did that cement your spot in the ruck?
No, it surprisingly did. I did well. I dislocated my finger, which is still a bit wonky to this day, that day. But the main thing I do remember is that day I got taken out because I was actually doing really well, and it was really frustrating them because I'm just a little nuggety guy. And I'm actually doing quite well. And so at one point, I got one of their players and tackled him. And he got done for holding the ball because as I flung him around, he's obviously just let it go. But I ended up on the ground on my back. And then one of the other players has come up and literally stomped on my stomach. Which just was, it was pretty rough. And like there was a big eruption from the parents on the sideline. But it, I kind of got a bit of bruising around my stomach and ribs a bit. And so I got the next day off school in high school. And there's nothing cooler than missing a day of school as you recuperate from the big game. And all the talk of what I'd done that weekend and how big a game I'd played. And this guy stomped on me and I've missed a day of school from this injury. It was very great for my social life just for that one day when I turned up and had to tell my war story on the Tuesday.
That's fantastic.
Rove, so sad.
Look, we all have those stories. While we're in the younger days, I want to talk some more about your memories growing up with Sean. Someone in the comments a bit earlier said, I was today years old when I found out the two McManuses were cousins. Maybe it's not as widely known as I thought, but... were you tight-knit? What was he like as a youngster? And what did you
We grew up, obviously our dads are brothers. We have a very tight-knit family. They lived a street across from us. So we spent a lot of holiday time together as a family, like as our two families together. And despite the fact that we're not the same age, he has, as I mentioned before, an older brother who's the same age as me. So we're always pretty, but Sean and I were pretty close. I think we were the two goofballs, the class clowns, as it were. So we kind of, always had a pretty good connection that way. We would go, we loved snorkeling and we would go on diving trips and up to northwestern Australia. And just, it was wonderful. Just, we had a really, really great upbringing. And as anyone who knows the McManus clan, we have a very large family. Our grandmother was from a large family. She had six kids. She lived next door to her sister who had a lot of kids as well. And so Christmas time, it was just jumping over the fence to your cousins once removed or whatever it was. So yeah, we were kind of the Palmyra Mafia, we were called when we were growing up. But yeah, we had a really good time when we were younger.
Palmyra Mafia sounds very tough. I'm sure it still holds up today. Now, Rove, two more before we go. I read something you wrote once. You said 19 years. I can't say that there are too many things in this life I would wait that long for, but a premiership would be one of them. Rove, when that day comes for Fremantle, what would it mean to you and how will you celebrate?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know if my brain would be and my heart would be ready for it. Shout out to someone who's a Freo fan from Chicago, by the way.
Hello.
Yeah, I look at this point, it's hard not to like, I find it difficult to reconcile that there are clubs that have come into the AFL after us and have won premierships before us. And as much as you would say, well, our time will come, our time will come. Yeah, it hasn't yet. And, you know, we're celebrating huge milestones of how many years we've existed as a club and everything else. And unfortunately, that one premiership that has eluded us and still only the one grand final appearance. It would be nice to even just be back at the top of the ladder to just make some of those regular appearances because, you know, you almost need that experience the first time you get in so it's not too overwhelming. But oh man, if we were to have a win like that, I remember the first win we had in Melbourne. I don't know how many people remember this. When we first started as a club, we just couldn't win outside the state, and especially in Melbourne, it was just an impossibility. And our first win against the Bulldogs, it was in Melbourne, and Sean was voted man of the match, and it was the same a Sunday that the Logies were on, and I won my first gold Logie, and there was someone in the media room who was from Western Australia, and they had a Dockers scarf, and we were celebrating. It was all I was talking about on the red carpet, and I put the scarf on and had my photo taken with my Logies, and that was front page of the West, and back page was Sean's photo from doing well on that game. And that was a very special moment. And the only thing that I reckon could supersede that is the idea of the Dockers taking home the cup one year. And what a blessed event it will be. I don't care where I am. I don't care if I'm 6 feet underground. My zombie corpse will rise up to watch that
I love that. The passion and the dedication is what
Oh,
we want.
yes.
One more for you, Ro, before I let you go, and thank you for your time today. This series is called For the Love of Freo. It's what it's all about. And if you can sum it up, what do you love about the Fremantle Dockers Footy Club?
Oh boy. I think our fans, I think, you know, the Purple Army is incredible. I mean, the loyalty that we have, we wear our hearts on our sleeve, and you know, I know clubs that are terrified of coming to play us at home. I love that we're the underdogs, but we still have so much promise. And sure, you know, we haven't had that premiership win, but it never stops us. We work hard, grit, guts, determination, and passion, I think is something that as a club makes me proud to be a club. We never just roll over and take it. We always stand up and fight, and I know that the time will come where that will get us through to exactly where we need to be. And geez, next year is looking really, really strong, and hopefully that can happen. But until then, I've always been very proud to wear my purple. For a while there, the red and the green were a bit iffy, but the purple is always good. It was a very bold choice to begin with. But yeah, I'm very, very proud to be part of the Purple Army and forever Freo.
Well, we're proud to have you behind us. I've really enjoyed our chat today, and I'm so glad we got over our audio issues at the start and we could have that
Great.
chat. But thank you again, and have a fantastic day, and we can't wait to hopefully we might have you back off to study next year. Who knows? But
That
thank you
would
for
be
joining me.
wonderful. Looking forward to it. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Pleasure.
Thank you, Ro. Thank you, Purple Army. We'll see you next time.